Is daf pei vav. We're going to begin at the bottom of pei hey amud beis, three lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im yesham tfisas yad. Rabbi Yehuda at the end of our Mishnah is of the opinion that if, let's say, a person rents out a house in a chotzer, and the question is whether the renter of that house has to participate in the Erev or not. Says Rabbi Yehuda that if the Baal HaBayis who rented out his house still has rights, he retains rights to keep his objects, his utensils in the chotzer, so then we consider it as if the Baal HaBayis is only hosting the renter. And therefore that renter does not have to participate in the Erev, and even if he ignores the Erev is still valid without him. So now we're going to look at the last two lines on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis. And this is where we begin for today. The Gemara asks, Hechi Dami Tfisas Yad. What is Tfisas Yad in Rabbi Yehuda? Kigon Chatsero Shel Ben Bunyas. The Gemara gives an example of a person whose name was Ben Bunyas, and he was very wealthy, and he would rent out or perhaps lend out many batim in his chotzer to others. He had so many kelim, though, that he would make sure that he would allow himself rights to place the kelim, his own kelim, in the various batim in the chotzer, and therefore none of those batim have to participate in the Erev. So the Gemara tells us about Ben Bunyas, who was a student of Rebbe, Asar Lekami de Rebbe. He came in front of Rebbe in the Beis Medrash, Amalahu. Rebbe said to those who were sitting in front of him, Pnu Mokom, make room for Ben Bunyas, because Ben Me'amona, he's worth a lot of money. Me'amona, that's his, those are his assets in the bank. And Rebbe is giving such cover to a wealthy person. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Then, Asa Inishachrina, another person came in front of Rebbe and his Talmidim, Amalahu. Rebbe said to the Talmidim in front of him, and here we start the daf for today, Pei Vav Amin Aleph, Pinu Makom Leben Masayimana. Make sure they have a special place at the table here, a special chair designated for this person who's worth Masayim Mana. He's really wealthy. So Rebbe somehow evaluated his assets and he was twice as wealthy as Ben Bunyas. Amalafan of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe, so that Rabbi Shmuel turns to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he calls him Rebbe, he says, Aviv Shel Zeh, the father of Ben Bunyas, his name is Bunyas, Yeshlo Elef Sfinos Bayam, Uknegdon Elef Ayoros Beabosha. In other words, he's very, very wealthy. By the way, this phrase also appears in Masechta Yoma with regard to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. I don't know if this is a round number. Amalo, l'kshagia etzel aviv, and Marlo. Now I'm not exactly sure who's going to whom. Let me just see. Just give me a minute here, because in my translation, it's not exactly clear. He says, when you reach his father, so again, let's see, the father, his name is Bunyas, and Rabbi Shmuel is telling Rebbe that Bunyas himself is so wealthy. So Rebbe says that when you reach his father, then tell him, Al Tishagreu Bekelim Halolu Lefonai. Do not send him wearing these clothes. Ah, I see. So Ben Bunyas is the Talmud. He was sent by his father Bunyas to study by Rebbe. And Rebbe wants to send a message to the father back home that the clothing that Ben Bunyas was wearing is not mechubad. It's not up to par. It doesn't reflect the wealth. And apparently, the impression you get is that Rebbe underestimated the financial assets of Ben Bunyas, but when he found out from Rabbi Shmuel how much his father was worth, then he understood the nature of the wealth of Bunyas. I guess Bunyas will eventually inherit his father. So make sure that the father, when he sends his son to yeshiva, he should be wearing better upgraded clothing. And the Gemara now makes a comment, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, Rabbi Akiva Mechabed Ashirim, and Rabbi Kivega quoting earlier sources to explain why they were Mechabed Ashirim, at least in the case of Rebbe. Rebbe himself was very wealthy. And Rebbe was afraid that perhaps he would get too much glory because of his Torah knowledge. He would rather, if people respected him and adored him because of his financial worth. So if Rebbe would be Mechabed Ashirim, other people would be Mechabed Ashirim. And then Rebbe would not be enjoying or benefiting from the Torah knowledge that he acquired, but rather from the money that he acquired. And it seems that Rabbi Akiva, when he was Mechabed Aniyim, when he was Mechabed Ashirim, was because they, the Ashirim, were doing such tzedakah for the Aniyim. Kididoresh, and it's based on the drush of Rava Bar Mori in a pasuk in Tilim. It says, "Yeshev Olam Lifnei Elohim, Chesed V'Emes Man Yin Tzeruhu." Rashi says that the word "man" is a reference to mazon, and Emos Hayeshev Olam Lifnei Elohim. When will this world continue to exist? What will give continued sustenance to maintain this world, bisman shechesed emes man, when the Ashirim will be gomel chesed, and they will designate food for the poor people, then yinsiruhu, then they are in effect really protecting the entire world. Now the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yehudin, a mission of Tfisas Yad, Rabba Bar Chana Omar, Kigon Yosei Shal Machresha. Even if all the Baal Bais keeps in the house of the Shoel or the Socher that he lent out the house to is only a very insignificant kli, like a Yosei Shal Machresha, which was the knife that was used to make an opening in the Machresha. He says here, just again, read to you the English translation. He says, it's a peg of a plow. Okay. Again, in the Hebrew translation, he doesn't call it a peg so much as he calls it something similar to a knife, which makes the charitzim and the telem of the charisha. I guess it's those little sharp, small knives in the plow that dig into the ground. In any event, that's enough to be considered a tfisas yad, such that now the shoel or the socher is no longer generates an iser on the other bnei achatz if he doesn't participate in the eruv. So we're not going to judge the keli by some sort of standard and minimum amount of money or value that it's worth on the market. Even something so insignificant is called a tfisas yad. But now the Gemara adds a condition, a stipulation. Amar Rav Nachman, Tanabei Shmuel, we have a brisa from the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, that if the Balabayis has a Dovra Nito B'Shabbos, meaning if there's a possibility, a certain likelihood that the Baal Bayis might come on Shabbos and take his keli away because it's Nitol B'Shabbos, there's no Mukta, then Oser, then that's not considered Tfisas Yad. And Rashi adds another point over here, that Kevin Sheyochal HaShoel Litlam Lashlicham L'chutz. So it's not so much that the Baal Bayis might come and take it back, but that the Shoel himself has the rights in such a case to, since there's no Isur Muktzah, to place this Kli outside of the Rishus. But if it's a Dover She'eno Nito B'Shabbos, if on the other hand there's no possibility that either the Shoel himself or the Baal Bayis will come and remove this utensil from the bias, therefore eno osir. And then the Baal Bayis is really has a fixed, almost a permanent yad in that bias. So therefore that bias is not considered anything more than the bias in the possession of the Baal Bayis. The Shoel himself is like a guest in the house of the Baal Bayis, and therefore he is not considered one of the various Baal Bayis that share that chotzer, and therefore if he doesn't participate in the Erev, the Erev is still valid. Tanya Namihochi, we learned to Bryce to support this. Yeshlo Tevel. If the Baal Bayis places fruits that are Tevel before Trumas and Maestros were taken off in the house of the Shoel, or alternatively, Yeshlo Ashashis, which is also Mukta, V'chol Dover She'eno Nito B'Shabbos, Eino Oser. So anything that is Mukta is called a Tfisas Yad because he can't take it away on Shabbos. Now, exactly why is this Ashishis considered Mukta? Let's see if we can find something. These metal bars have not been fashioned into utensils. Ah, so they don't have a shame kli. Okay. And in the case of Tevel, it's not Roy Lachil. I think we've discussed in the past that Tevel is Mukta on Shabbos. Okay, Rabosai, we're going to start the Mishnah now. Now, this Mishnah is dealing with the case of somebody who owns a bias in a chatzer, but he's not living there on Shabbos. He's away for Shabbos. And the question is, does he generate an Isur Tiltul if he's not part of the Eruv, insofar as he owns the house, but on the other hand, he's not going to be there, so he's not really in residence over Shabbos. Saminiach base over Holach Lishbos Be'ir Acheres. Notice that the Mishnah speaks about a case where he moves on to a different city on Erev Shabbos, at least for the Shabbos, for the 24 hours of Shabbos, is Echad Nochri v'Echad Yisrael HaReza Oseh Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that even though he's not going to be in residence for Shabbos, nevertheless, it's still considered Dira, and since it's Dira, he must participate in the Erev, and in the case of a Goy, since he cannot participate in the Erev, he undermines the Erev itself. So that according to Rav Meir, these Bnei HaChotzer are still considered Bnei HaChotzer even in absence, even though they're not there for Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Enos. Rabbi Yehuda says that you need Dira. It's not enough that you own the flat. You have to live in the flat for Shabbos. And therefore, this person who owns a flat, but nevertheless he's not there for Shabbos, he doesn't generate any Isur because this is not called Dira. Rabbi Yossi makes a compromise. He says, Nochri Oser. In the case of a goy, even in his absence, he generates an Iser on all the Bnei HaChotzer. Then I'll let it be metaltel in the chutz from the bais because he undermines the Eruv. And the reason for this is that even though there's no dira here, meaning right now for Shabbos the goy is absent, he's not a resident, but nevertheless he may come back on Shabbos. But Yisrael, ain't no oser, ain't derech Yisrael of Shabbos. We don't assume that the Jew who's outside the Tchum Shabbos, he's in a different city, that he's going to come back and show up on Shabbos. Could be that according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, this halacha of a kula with regard to the Yisrael, because we assume he's not coming back on Shabbos, would only apply if he's outside of the Tchum of Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afili hiniach base of halach lishmol seisel bito bioso ha'ir, eino osa shekvar hisiel milibo. The Rambam actually passes like this, Rabbi Shimon, that everything depends upon his decision. And we're going to assume that his decision is that he's going away for Shabbos. He packed his bags, and he was meisiach das from his bias. And if there's a dira shein darimba, that's not considered dira. And we don't have to worry about the fact that he'll return. And the chiddush of Reb Shimon is, even though he's in the city, there's no chutz l'tchum, I mean, there's nothing preventing him from coming back to his house within the city during the course of Shabbos, but since he was Meisiach Das, that already removes his dira, so to speak. He's not considered dira. Omar Rav Halacha Ki Rabbi Shimon. That means even if he went just to spend Shabbos with his daughter in the city, he doesn't generate an Iser. He's not considered one of the Dayarim, and he doesn't have to participate in the Erev. However, Rav qualifies this leniency of Rabbi Shimon. He says, V'af Rabbi Shimon dafka bito. He's only lenient in the case of a bas, which means that if, let's say, he has some friction with his son-in-law, he's not going to pay attention to that. He feels very at home there, and he's not going to pack out in the middle of Shabbos. He left for the purpose of spending Shabbos with his daughter and son-in-law, and that's what he's going to do. Aval b'no, but if he's spending Shabbos with his son and daughter-in-law is low, then Rav Shimon would not say that he's not an oser. In other words, here, we're not considered that he's meisiach dato. He always is thinking that maybe he won't get along so well with his daughter-in-law, and he'll have to leave the house and come back home. Di Amri Inchi, this reflects an idiomatic phrase that people use as popular saying, Novach Bach Kalba. If you hear the bark of a male dog, which in this case is referring to his son-in-law, then ul. You can go into the house where there's the barking of a male dog. It's a metaphor, meaning you can stay in the house with your son-in-law even if you have some sort of friction with your son-in-law. But Navach Bach Guryasa, now we're talking about a female dog. In this case, the metaphor represents his daughter-in-law, Puk. Then you have to check out. So that if you're spending Shabbos with your son and daughter-in-law, you better keep the keys in your pocket or make sure your door is open that you can return home on Shabbos. And now we get to the Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Mishnah about a bar between two chatzeros. And the bar is exactly equidistant from both chatzeros. There was no Erev between the two chatzeros, and the question is, are each of the Bnei HaChatz on the two sides of this bar permitted to draw water from the bar? Now let's just add one other element into this scenario, and that is that the two chatzeros are separated by a kosel, a mechitza, and that kosel is directly on top of the middle of the bar. In a sense, you could say it splits the bar into two sides. And one of the Shittas HaTanoim in this Mishnah is going to say that we've already separated and split the bar, so to speak, in half. The half of the bar on this side of the Mechitza belongs, and the water therein belongs to the chutz on that side, and the other half to the chutz on the other side. But of course, you'll raise the objection. I mean, the water is mixed up inside the bar. But in any event, let's just keep that in mind, that the metzius in our Mishnah here is where there's a kosel that splits the two chatzeros and is directly over the bar. And there's a possibility that that itself would split the bar into two. But again, that's going to be one sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The entire Mishnah up to Rabbi Yehuda is going to reject that. Is going to assume that you really have to split the bar into two with a mechitza that somehow goes down into the bar. Now, let's say that he has a dli, he has a pail, and he's going to use that pail to draw the water. Where is that pail? Where is it located with the onset of Shabbos? So that goes my money. It says, "Kol anidon shem mishnah hu imutal amalos mi bar beklish shavas bebayis." The whole issue here is because he's taking a pail out of his house on Shabbos. If he had a dli, a kli that was a kone shvisa, so to speak, it was Shabbos in the chatzar on Shabbos, then there's no problem here, because so what if he's drawing water from a different chatzar? Because let's assume the water on the other side of this bar belongs to the other Rishus, but nevertheless, Kalim Sheshavsu B'chatzim Mutalotzim L'chatz Acheres, right? We paskin that all the Chatzeres are one Rishus. So the real issue here is when he takes a Kli out of his house, which he wants to use to draw the water from the bar, and that Kli was Shoves B'bayis with the onset of Shabbos, and now if he draws water from the other side of this bar, meaning the side that is inclined towards the next door neighborly chatzer, then he's taking a kli that was shoves bebayis and he's putting it into another chatzer. Or, for example, let's say he draws water into that kli, and now he takes the water in the kli and brings it back to his house. Then he's taking water from another kli into his bayis. So that within the context of this Hagos Maimonides, it would seem that the problem in the Mishnah is twofold. Number one, if he has a kli that was shovis in the bayis and he wants to use it to draw water from the bar, or on the contrary, let's say even if he has a dli that was shovis in the chutz, if he wants to use that dli to not only draw water into the dli, but then bring the dli back into his house, because presumably that's what he's going to do with the mayim, that's also going to be an issue, because he's taking water from another chatzer into his bayis. So let's go through the Mishnah. Part of this Mishnah we won't understand until we get to the Gemara. Bar shebein shtei chatzeres ein memala mimenu b'shabbos. And Rashi understands here that the reason why you cannot draw from this bar that's equidistant between the two chatzeres on Shabbos is because the bar is called a reshus mishutefes. It is, in a sense, a partnership of both chatzeros. And anything that's in a reshus of two chatzeros has to have an eruv. Rabbi Kivega, on the other hand, has a different take on this. And his problem is that when you fill up water from the bar, since all the water is mixed together, then he's taking water that was shoves in a different chatzer, as we said earlier, and he's bringing that water into his house. But either way, we're going to have to says the Mishnah, work out a modus vivendi, a method by which we can be matir both chatzeros to draw water from this bar. And therefore the Mishnah says, Alam kein asulo mechitza gavoa asar tvachim. You need to split the bar between the two chatzeros, so that half the bar belongs to one chatzer and half to the other. It's no longer reshus mishutefes. And he can accomplish that goal by setting up a mechitza of asara tvachim. Now again, a mechitza of asara tvachim really has no dimensions other than height. It's got to have a minimum of 10 tvachim. Other than that, it could be very thin, and it's not very wide. So now what happens is, once you set up this mechitza that splits the bar into two, each one of the bnei achatzer is going to draw water on his side of that mechitza from a reshus that belongs exclusively to him, him meaning any representative of that chatz on that side. And now the Mishnah says, where exactly does he structure that mechitza? Bein milamata ubein mitoch ogno. So again, all these words in the Mishnah will have to be understood and explained by the Gemara, but just to give you a kind of a general sense of what the Mishnah has in mind, it means that it matters not whether the mechitza is lamata. Now again, the word lamata can mean two different things, as we'll see in the Gemara, but lamata means it's inside the bar, or right below the lip of the bar. That's toch ogno. Lamata might mean all the way deep down into the bar, to the karkoyes bar, which is below water. But one thing is clear, that whatever lamata and toch ogno mean exactly, what's common and absolutely required and critical, that's the minimum requirement, is that the mechitza has to be inside the bar, inside the airspace of the bar. It cannot be a mechitza that's on top of the bar. So again, whether it has to be all the way down or in the middle or... minimum, it has to be below the ogen, below the lip, the outer lip of the bar, so that the mechitza has to be inside the chalal habar. Now, the Gemara is going to tell us that we have a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda as to how to interpret mata and how to interpret lamala. Now, where do I get the word lamala from? That's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. He tells us about a machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, where this mechitza is located. Beit Shammai Omrim l'milamata. So that means that Beit Shammai wants the mechitza lower down. Exactly what lower down means, we'll have to see. And Beis Hillel Omrim l'mala, meaning relative to Beit Shammai, it could be a little higher up. But again, it must be, we cannot overemphasize this, it must be inside this bar. You know, it's below the lip of the bar, even according to Beis Hillel. And as I said before, there's going to be a machlokas here between Rav Huna and Rav Yud exactly how to interpret lamata. Rav Huna is going to say lamata means inside the airspace of the bar without touching the mayim. It's close to the surface level of the mayim, whereas lamala means that it's inside the bar, but quite a distance above the mayim. So like let's say, for example, this mechitza is 10 tefachim high, but the bar itself might be 20 tefachim deep. And therefore, if you hold lamala, it means that the mechitza is inside the bar, below the lip of the bar, but it reaches down 10 tefachim. There's still 10 tefachim between the bottom of the mechitza and the water level in the bar. But Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, is going to say that lamata means inside the water, and lamala means in the airspace of the bar, but immediately contiguous to the mayim, to the water level. And I also have to tell you in advance that this sugya needs chazara. You know, we can just go through the sugya superficially, fast-paced, but this is the kind of sugya you have to go over 50 times until you know it klar and you can take an exam on. Now, as I mentioned to you at the outset, there is one possibility that the mechitza, that is the kosel on top of the bar, could serve to divide the mayim into the between the two chatzeros, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Shitom. Rabbi Yehuda lo tehe mechitza gedola min hakosel shebeinayim. There's no need for a separate mechitza below the surface, the lip of the bar. Just simply rely on the mechitza that splits the bar into two. And what we're going to see about that is that's called a mechitza tluya, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to have to apply the principle of go to achis mechitza, and you're going to take that kosel that's on top of the bar, and you're going to extend it downwards to split the water into two. Okay then, so that's what we have over here. Now keep in mind that if we're going with, let's say, for example, Beis Hillel, and the mechitza does not enter into the water, and even according to Beit Shammai, at least in Rav Huna's frame of reference, the mechitza does not actually sub water. What's the word I want to use? Anyway, it's not below the surface. It doesn't penetrate into the water. So our Mishnah must be based on God Achis Mechitza, which means that the Mechitza is above the level of the water. It might be very close to the surface level of the water, but we're going to extend it down to split the water below into two chatzeros, to split the partnership, so to speak. Rabbi Yehuda is going a step further. He's taking a godaches mechitza from something, a mechitza that's outside the bar. The Tanakama, which would in this case be either Beis Hillel or Beit Shammai, requires that the mechitza be inside the bar. The only question is, how far deep inside the bar? Does it have to be below the water surface? Does it have to be immediately contiguous to the water? Could it be a little higher? But the mechitza, all 10 tefachim of the mechitza, has to be below the lip of the bar. Amar Rav Huna. The Gemara now interprets what's lamata and lamala. So Rav Huna's sheet is lamata, lamata mamish, which means that the mechitza has to be not only inside the bar, but it has to be samach lemayim. It's got to be very close to the surface level of the water. That's Beit Shammai Shita of Lamata, the way Rav Huna understands it. Now, what that would mean is that, let's say, for example, in my scenario that I gave you before, if let's say the mechitza, you know what, I'll give you a different scenario. Let's say, for example, the bar is 30 tefachim deep, the bottom 10 tefachim are full of water. If you hold lamata, which is Beit Shammai, the mechitza now is going to be at the surface level of the water, and it goes up 10 tefachim. There'll be another 10 tefachim between that, the top of the mechitza, and the Sfas HaBar, or the Ogei HaBar, as the Mishnah calls it, the lip of the bar. But again, according to Rav Huna, and I can't overemphasize this, even Beit Shammai that require Lamata do not require that the mechitza has to be submerged in the water, reach all the way down to the bottom of the bar. The mechitza is on top, contiguous to the surface level of the bar. So if you follow my hands here, if this is the surface level of the bar, the mechitza starts above the water of the bar, and it goes up 10 tefachim. Lamala, lamala mamish. It could very well be, according to Lamala, that's Beis Hillel, that the distance between the top of the water and the mechitza is even more than 10 tefachim. Like in the example I gave you where the bar is 30 tefachim subterranean and the water goes up 10 tefachim, according to Lamala, I can have the mechitza of 10 tefachim be in the airspace of the bar, right below the lip of the bar, right below the top of the bar, and there's going to be a 10 tefachim distance between the top of the water and the bottom of the mechitza. And that's called Lamal. But even Beis Hillel will agree that this mechitza that you're adding has to be in the airspace of the bar. Only then can we apply the principle of God, Achis Mechitza, and imagine extending the mechitza all the way down to the bottom of the bar to split the water that's on the bottom of the bar. No one, not even Beis Hillel, would allow you to have a mechitza that's above the lip of the bar, unless you apply the rules of Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Tana in our Mishnah. So this is all Rav Huna's understanding of the Machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Now we get to Rav Yehuda. Again, we always have to make sure it's not Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana in our Mishnah, we get confused. Here it's Rav Yehuda the Amora, who disagrees with Rav Huna interpreting our Mishnah. Lamata, and this is the Shita of Beit Shammai, is Lamata Min HaMayim. Rabbi Yehuda's very, Rav Yehuda, in his understanding of Beit Shammai, is very machmir. He requires that the Mechitza Asara Tefachim actually reach down to the Karkois HaBar, below the water, inside the water. And I would guess that, let's say the Mechitza is usually made of something called Kanim. Kanim are reeds, so maybe you'd have sharp ends to the reeds, and those sharp ends on the bottom of the mechitza actually are penetrate into the bottom of the bar to keep that mechitza up. Lamala, but Beis Hillel Shita is Lamala Min HaMayim. In other words, according to Rav Yehuda's understanding of Beis Hillel, the mechitza has to start from the top level of the water and go up. If the mechitza is at a distance from the mayim, then it's not a mechitza, even according to Beis Hillel. And in that sense, Rav Yehuda's Beis Hillel is the same as Rav Huna's Beit Shammai. Let's go over that. Rav Huna's Beit Shammai will allow the mechitza to be above the water level. Not so according to Rav Yehuda's Beit Shammai, but according to Rav Huna's Beit Shammai, the mechitza is above, but contiguous to the water level. And that's called Samach L'mayim. That's exactly Beis Hillel Shita, according to Rav Yehuda. Because he understands that L'mala means L'mala Min HaMayim, meaning Beis Hillel, when they said L'mala Kami Lafuke Beit Shammai, that required that the mechitza go all the way down to the Karkas HaBar inside the water. And Beis Hillel says L'mala, it could be above the surface of the water, but immediately at the point where you reach the surface level of the water. And that's where the mechitza goes up. Amale Rav Hanan Labaye Hodiyom Rav Yehuda Lemata, which means Lamata Min HaMayim, it's underneath the water, it's really in the Karkois HaBar, as we said, the flat ground of the bar. I don't understand. Maishna Lamata Mamish Dilo. In other words, why, according to Rav Yehuda's understanding of Beit Shammai, do we reject the possibility that the Mechitza cannot be higher up, Samach L'mayim? Their answer is the Arive Mayim, because underneath this mechitza, because the mechitza is above the water level, all the water is mixed together. So you don't really have a hefsik mechitza that separates the water for this chatzir from the water on that chatzir, this side from that side. Now, if that be the case, then I don't understand. How did Beit Shammai solve that problem? What did he say? Lamata min amayim? That you're going to put the mechitza of 10 tefachim all the way down at the karkos habor? Is namihar rive mayim? The mayim is going to mix on top of the mechitza. What difference does it make whether water, if we would have said samach lamayim, would mix underneath the mechitza, or if you put the mechitza of 10 tefachim, it's the same size as the mechitza. The mechitza hasn't changed its size, it's 10 tefachim. And if you place it into the ground, all the way in the bottom of the bar, the waters are going to mix on top of the mechitza. So Amalei, Abai says him, Lo Shmielach, you didn't hear, Ha di Omer of Yehuda Marav, a statement of Yehuda Marav, Umati be, and others say it, Mishum Rav Chia, She tzarech sheiro rosham shel konim, Lemala min amayim tefach. Which means, that the konim, which is the mechitza itself, made of these reeds, on top, that's called Roshei HaKonim, have to be Lamala Min Amayim. They have to come above the water level by one tefach. Now, exactly how that solves the problem, I can just tell you. Again, this is not profound lumdus, but I think if you have the tefach that goes up above the surface level of the mayim, then we're assuming that the waters, they're not wavy, will not rise above the mechitza, meaning climb over the tefach to get to the other side. So that in sum, what we're saying is that according to Rav Yehuda's interpretation of Beit Shammai, we really need to split the water in such a way that the water is split. Kriyas Yamsu. And that's the Tefach Lamala Min Amayim. Now, it seems to me, and I hope I'm not misleading you here, that according to this interpretation of Rav Chia, or Rav, we have now a mechitza that might be more than 10 tefachim high. It might be 11 tefachim high. You have the bare minimum size, height of a mechitza of 10 tefachim, and now you have to add the tefach above the water to make sure that the waters don't mix. Visu, but Rav Bar Chana persists and asks the question again to Abaye. Hodi Amar Rav Yehuda. Lemala. Lamala min amayim. Now we go, according to Rav Yehuda, to the Shita of Beis Hillel. I still have a question. Maishna lamala mamish delo. Why do you exclude lamala mamish? In other words, lamala mamish means, remember, if you have a bar that's 30 tefachim deep and the water goes up 10 tefachim, then the lamala of the first interpretation, that was Rav Huna, would mean that from the lip, the outer lip of the bar, you have machitz that goes down 10 tefachim, which means there's a 10 tefachim distance between the top of the water and the bottom of the mechitza. That's excluded. Why? De arive maya. Because now you have this whole distance open without any mechitza separating it of 10 tefachim, and the waters are going to go from one side to the other. Is therefore, the Gemara asks, lemala min amayim nami. Even if you're going to put the 10 tefachim mechitza contiguous, exactly at the point of the surface level of the water, you still have 10 tefachim, even a 30 tefachim deep bar, above the mechitza, where there's going to be a mixture of mayim. Omalei Sabai says, Lo Shmielei Hodetani Yaakov Kachinana. Didn't you hear the brisa of Rav Yaakov? Shetzorech Shishaka Roshei Akonim B'mayim Tefach. That the konim on the bottom of this mechitza have to be at least one tefach inside the water. And that's enough to separate the water from one side to the other. Very similar to what we said before. There, before we spoke about lamalim minamayim tefach, now we're talking about bamayim tefach. The Gemara now asks another kashva, lahod yomar av Yehuda, kora, arba materes bechurva. So you have a churva, a room, that doesn't have bechitzos. So therefore it doesn't really have the status of Rishus HaYochid. You want to carry within this churva. But what's left in the churva is a korah. You have a beam that's 4 tfachim wide. And it goes from one side of the ruin of the churva to the other side of the ruin. One kosel to the other. Whatever's left of the kosel, right? And says, Rav Yehuda, you're allowed to carry now within this churva. Why? Because we're going to apply the principle of pi tikra yored v'sosen. We're going to imagine as if that korah, right, on its outer lip, outer side, goes all the way down and sets up a mechitza. Just one second. So he says the korah is like a tikra, it's like almost like a ceiling. The anu omrim pi tikra yored v'sosem et akarka. Okay, now one question that bothered my mind here, I don't see anyone that addresses it. Okay, so you now set up a hekif mechitz on one side. How does that help you with the other three sides? Again, our goal is to set up this churva as a rishus hayachid, which has to be mukaf mechitzas on all sides. Let's see. Maybe I have a solution that just popped into my mind. That is. I think what's happening here is, again, Be'eravon Mugbal, that Rav Yehuda is allowing you to carry underneath the korah. Why? Because the korah is 4 tefachim thick. Right, so if the width of the kosel is 4 tefachim, you could say pi tikra yored v'sosim on both facades or outer chudim of the korah, the chud ha-pnimi, the chud ha-chitzoni, and therefore underneath the korah, you're surrounded by mechitzos. Rav Nachman Omar, in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, here we turn to Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, korah. Arba, materes b'mayim. That if you have a korah that has the width of 4 tefachim, and you place it flat on the top of the bar, so you have a bar between two chatzeros, and now you put this beam, flat on top of the bar, and it's got a width of 4 tefachim, materes b'mayim. It's going to allow each one of the b'nei achatzah to draw water from the bar. Why? Because we're going to view the two ends, the two outer chudim, what's called in Hebrew, of this korah, as if they go down into the bar. Now, we just said that Rav Yehuda holds that a mechitza, in order to be matir the bar, has to be submerged into the water. Well, this korah of Rabba Bar Avua is certainly not inside the water. It's on top of the bar. So the Gemara asks the kasha, haka ozil deli leidach giso maisi. Let's say when you put your pail inside the bar, it's going to go, you know, from the right side of this korah to the left side of the korah, underneath the korah, and basically you're taking water from the other side of the Korah, which belongs to the Chatzer on the other side, into your Chatzer. So the Gemara answers, Kimlu l'Rabbanon, di ein dli mahalech yosem me'arba tfachim. That four tfachim is enough to guarantee that the dli is not going to float beyond the four tfachim and enter into the other side of the bar. So the Gemara asks, Botachas akora miyahar arive mayin. But what difference does it make? I mean, underneath the Korah itself, the waters are mixed up from both sides of the Korah. And Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that you cannot draw water from the bar unless you have a machitza that dips into the water itself. Ella. So Gemara now says, I'm going to answer this by telling you how the Korah is Materes HaMayim. Mishum dekalu sheikilu chachamim b'mayim. That the Rabbanan set up a special kula in order to facilitate people drawing water on Shabbos. And even if the mechitza is not, as we said, inside the water, you're allowed to draw water from the bar. And this more or less reflects the shita of Beis Hillel according to Rav Huna. There Rav Huna says that all you have to do, according to Beis Hillel, is place the mechitza below the top lip of the bar, even though it's much, much higher than the water. But as long as it's in the airspace of the bar. And at this point, the Gemara is rejecting Rav Yehuda, who requires that the mechitza be actually submerged into the water. Certainly that's not true according to Rabba Baravua in the case of the Korah that's flat sitting down on top of the bar. Kedaboy minei Rabbi Tavla me Rav mechitza tluya mahu shetate b'churva. Now, mechitza tluya means, before we were talking about the tikra, now we're talking about one of the sides of the rune, and it has the vestiges of a mechitza of a kosel, but it doesn't go all the way down to the ground. There's at least a 3 tefachim distance between the bottom of the kosel that's left of this churva and the ground. That's called a mechitza tluya. And would we be allowed to extend the mechitza through Godach's mechitzas all the way down to the ground, even though physically it's hanging in midair? So Rav responded, "Ein mechitza tluya materes el b'mayim." The only situation in which we're going to allow you a mechitza that doesn't reach the ground, and the imaginary Godach's mechitzas is going to make it into a mechitza, that's only to allow drawing water from a bar. Kalu shekilu chachamim b'mayim. But in the case of a churva, there's no drawing of water, we're not going to be mekil, and Rav says that a mechitza tluya is not a valid mechitza. Now we go to Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah. Lo te mechitza gedola min hakosel shebeinayim. You don't need a mechitza inside the airspace of the bar. As long as you have this mechitza, this kosel that's on top of the bar, that's enough to be separate the two sides of the bar into the divvy it up to the two chatzeros. Omar Rabba Bar Chanam, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Beshitas, Rabbi Yossi Amora. We're now going to quote a Mishnah in Masechtas Sukkah, and Rabbi Yossi is committed to validate a mechitza tluya. You have a dofen of the sukkah that starts on top, right where the schach is, but goes down up to, but not below, 3 tefachim. In other words, it's still hanging with airspace between the ground and the bottom of this dofen. And Rabbi Yossi says that the sukkah is kshera, diomer mechitza tuya materes afil biyabosha, meaning it's not a separate heter for mayim, but rather even biyabosha. And if Rabbi Yossi went as far as to validate a mechitza tuya outside of the water, then how much more so is Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah correct, who validates the mechitza that's outside of the bar to facilitate drawing water? This now we learned in the Mishnah in Sukkah Tezayin. Hamashal shel defanos milamal lamata. He begins to set up his defanos on top near the schach, and he draws it down. and it comes towards the bottom of his manshik vos menorah shloshet tefachim psula. According to the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, mechitza tluya is enoch shiva mechitza. And why, when it gets to three tefachim and it stops, now you have an opening of three tefachim. That's called gediyim bokimba. Right, these small goats can get through that airspace of three tefachim in height. And therefore, that's ma'akev, that undermines the status of the mechitza in order to view it as if it goes all the way down to the ground. However, milamato lemala, if you set up a mechitza of 10 tefachim from the ground and up, gvos asar tefachim kshera, even though there's a very extensive distance between the top of your dofen, your mechitza, and the schach on top. But Rabbi Yossi Omer Kishem She Milamata Lamalo Kach Milamala Lamata. As long as there's a Mechitza Vasar Tfachim, it matters not whether the Mechitza begins from the ground and goes up, or it begins from the Schach, from the top, and goes down, because a Mechitza Tluya is Mater Sukkah. And if we take this Rabbi Yossi and we apply it to Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, it's really one and the same, because Rabbi Yehuda allows the Mechitza on top of the bar. And even though it's tluya, we view it as if it goes achis mechitza goes down into the bar to split the bar. Velohi, the Gemara says, no. Don't you dare connect and merge the shitos of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savalaka Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabbi Yossi savalaka Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda lo savalaka Rabbi Yossi. Ad kan lo koma Rabbi Yehuda ela. Be Eruv Chatzeros. Meaning, what's the issue over here? The bar is certainly in a Rishus HaYochid. Both Chatzeros, on a Doraisa level, have permission to draw from this bar. The Rabbanon said that since the bar is Meshutefes, it's in a partnership to both, they created an Iser of taking from one Chatzit to the other. Is that all the Rabbanon? But Sukkah Vol Sukkah Doraisa, lo? Rabbi Yehuda is not going to rely and validate a mechitza tluya for a doraisa like sukkah. V'lo Rabbi Yossi, savalak Rabbi Yehuda. Here's a counterintuitive svara that the Gemara says. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi el b'sukkah de isra sehu. There's no violation of a lav involved in hechsha sukkah. Right? This is an isra se, which means that you're not supposed to eat outside of a sukkah. And it's all based on the essay of Sukkah's Teshu Shivas Yomim, and if you don't have a kosher Sukkah, then you are violating the essay. But there's no lav involved. Aval Shabbos, the Isa Skilahu. Again, we're dealing with the abundance of a bar that belongs to two Chatzeros, but nevertheless, the possibility is that you might come to violate Otsah Doraisa, which is an Isa Skila. Lo Amar Rabbi Yossi is not going to rely on a Mechitza Tluya and validate it in the case of Shabbos. Oh, but now the Gemara says, we don't understand the story in Tzipori. Now Tzipori was a city in the north, and the Rashk Bahag there was Rabbi Yossi. V'yim Tomar Oso Maisa Shenasa V'Tzipori Al Pi Mi Nasa. There was a Kula in a story, an episode in Tzipori, and it would seem to undermine the Shita of Rabbi Yossi because it's a case of Shabbos. And it's Lo Al Pi Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara answers that Enoch Hinami Rabbi Yossi had already died. But Al Pi Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi Nasa. Then the next generation, they were mekel even on Shabbos. And what's the story in Tzipori? The Chiyasa Rav Dimi, or my Rav Dimi came from Etzil to Bubble, and he told us the following story. Pamacha Shachu Velo Eviu Sefer Torah. There was a Sefer Torah that was inside a bias in a chotzer, and the Beis HaKnesses opens up into that chotzer, but there was no Erev Chatzeros. And they failed to remember to bring the Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKnesset Mibodjom. L'machon Shabbos, Parsu Sadin Al Hamudim Ve'viu Sefer Torah V'karubo. Which means that there were some sort of separation that, how do I describe it? he says, Mavui katan, she'efshal ahalich bo me'abayis, she'ayah sefer Torah sham ad lebeis ha'kneses. So there was some sort of a pathway that they created by setting up a sadin al amudim. In other words, there were certain poles on the right and the left that created a shvil between the poles. And what they did was they set up, they spread out, that's the word I want to use, they spread out a sadin, some sort of a sheet that was wrapped around the amudim, so that they could take the Sefer Torah from the bayis all the way to the Beis HaKnesses underneath this sadin that was held up by the amudim. And this sadin was a mechitza tluya. It was hanging in air. It didn't go all the way down to the bottom. And yet they relied on it. So you see that even on Shabbos in Tzipori, they validated a mechitza tluya. So the Gemara says that was after the death of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara asks a side question here. Parsu, would they be allowed to actually spread out sheets over amudim in order to create a mechitza on Shabbos? Chatchilu mishari, are you allowed to do such a thing on Shabbos? After all, we have a machlokas tanoim at the end of Masechta Shabbos, if you're allowed to be mosif a tosefes aroi on a pre-existing oel, but hakol modim shein osim ol aroi b'Shabbos, to create a brand new oel, even if it's only temporary, everybody agrees that's also on Shabbos. Ella, but you have to reinterpret the facts of on the ground of that story in Tzipori. Matzu stidim prusim al amudim. There already were sheets that were spread out over these amudim. But the problem was that these sheets did not reach all the way to the ground, and they relied on mechitza tluya, ve'viyu sefer Torah v'karubo. So once again, in a case where you need a heter, you can rely on a mechitza tluya, and that reflects the shita of Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi, but not of Rabbi Yossi himself. So we're going to stop here. Omar Rabba, which is approximately 1, 2, 3, 4 and change up from the bottom of Pei Vav Hamid Beis. And Rabba's going to introduce a sheet of Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, and he's going to connect that with Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who made that statement that you could be mekil with regard to mayim in order to get access to water. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one in that Mishnah who says that even if you have a kosel that's on top of the bar, it's not within the halala bar, we're going to apply the principle of God, achis mechitzta, and we're going to allow you to draw water from the bar. And now Rabbah is going to quote a sheet of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, who likewise is going to be mekil in a bar for the sake of mayim in the case of a gzustara. So that's where we're going to end up for today, here on the bottom of Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. So tomorrow's Daf will be Pei Zayin. Let's just read till the top of the next Amud, so we'll have a little far for tomorrow. Amud Rabba Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Amud Dover Echad Rabbi Yehuda Adamar Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Desanya Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Omer Gezustara Sheesh ba arba amos al arba amos. So this is called a gezusra, like a blita sakir. It's like a madaf, that platform that juts out of the wall, and it goes out of the bayis, and it's on top of the water. And this platform has 4 amos by 4 amos. It's not just a small platform, this gezusra. It's a real porch. It's like a balcony. Now, it doesn't have any machitzos. And here we turn to Daf Pei Zayin. Is Chokek Ba Arba Al Arba. Now we're talking about Tefachim. And he makes this Char, in which he carves out on the ground, on the bottom of the balcony, on the floor of the balcony, he carves out 4 by 4 Tefachim. And Mali. And he can draw water
from underneath the gezustra through that chakika, through that nekev or char. Now an amma has six tfachim, so four amos would be 24 tfachim. So therefore, chutz me ha'arba tfachim shechachak bi'emtza nishru asara tfachim b'chol tzad. The asara tfachim elu onurom osam ki iluhem nichfafim lemata v'omdim sviv ha'nekev k'mo mechitza tluya v'shuvanu omrim god achis mishoch v'horid es ha'mechitzus klapi mata. V'ro'im ki ilu ha'mechitzus elu magiyos ad l'mayim ha'idei kach nechshov v'mayim sh'tachas ha'nekev l'rshus ha'yochid u'muto l'hachnis mehem l'gzusra. So we see the Reb Chananya ben Akavya is also being mekiel in mayim. Just read the note here. He says that after cutting a square hole of 4x4 tefachim in the center, solid segments 10 tefachim long remain on each of its sides. These segments are viewed as having been bent down, forming a 10 tefachim high enclosure below the hole. So like you fold it over towards the river, towards the water, below. And these mechitzos, now projected downwards to enclose the surface of the water, and we're going to apply the principle of go to achis, and extend the wall, the mechitza imaginary, downward. Now 4x4 tefachim is the minimum area for which these mechitzos are effective. The hole must be at least this size. The partitions must be at least 10 tefachim high. Therefore, the segments around the hole, which we bend down to form partitions, they each have to be 10 tefachim long. So therefore, the minimum size of the balcony has to be 24 by 24 tefachim, or 4 by 4 amos. Okay then? So this is where we're going to stop here on the top of Pei Zayin Omid Al.